It is a grand privilege to get to be with you this morning. We've already done some things. I will be offering to everyone who leaves this morning a opportunity to join us in the work that we have. There will be some information we got on the back pew. We want everybody to have a handout if we can, because I think that will be something every one of us can use. And it's one of those things that as we do God's work, we can grow ourselves, and we offer to others an opportunity for them to become followers of Jesus. And we're in the seed sowing business. That's what Timeless Talks really is about. So before you leave today, I'm really hopeful that you will have a brochure, got some basic information on it, and a free giveaway, a free gift for everybody. All you got to do is pick up one of these things and or a bunch of them and talk about, as we do, hide them at Walmart or hide them at Family Dollar or Dollar General or gas station or the doctor's office. Anyway, you get a lot of ideas there. But I hope that you'll take advantage of this as well today. Let's take just a moment and ask God's blessings on what we're going to be talking about today. Dear God, I'm grateful for this opportunity to be with these brethren here. Father, help us to encourage them and strengthen them for the days that come after today. Help us to make a difference, God. This is your message. Let it have its full bearing and full weight, its own persuasiveness to change lives, to change our lives, to change the lives of other people too. Forgive us for the mistakes we make. Help us to be you, just like your Son, in every way. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You know, Jesus told lots of stories through the Bible. He had lots of things, different things happened to him at some of the, you might call them, less opportune moments of life, kind of like me and you do sometimes. Well, this message that we're giving today is such a message. It's an event that happened along his trials, and it's one of the latter things he ever did in terms of miracles and things before the cross. I will tell you about a man who wasn't so well off, who in many aspects I know I can identify with, and I hope that by the time we finish today, you can identify with him and follow his progression toward a renewed hope of life and a different kind of life. Jesus was on his final trip from Galilee to Jerusalem. He was up near Capernaum. As most Jews did, they tried to avoid going through Samaria. A quick piece of geography is that if you were to have Palestine, to the north is the region of, we call Galilee so much of the time. Down to the south is Judah, where Jerusalem's at, where the cross is going to be. In between is Samaria. Now, Jesus went through there, back in John chapter 4. Great story there. Great videos there, too, about the woman at the well. But Jesus, on this occasion, he leaves the Galilee area. Now, he's going to follow the route that most Jews would follow. He would not come through Samaria, so he crossed the Jordan to the east, went down the east side till he got way down there, And then he crossed over near a place called Jericho. He had told his disciples in Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again." So he's making this long trip. And he's going to cross near Jericho. Now, Jericho itself is quite noteworthy. We think of Jericho as being a very unusual town because it was the very first city ever conquered in Palestine by the Israelites. It was considered to be an impenetrable city. It had two walls, not just one, double ring of walls. Getting to the inside would have been a real nightmare. Unless God gets involved. We know that both walls fell down. The Bible talks not about the wall, but the walls of Jericho and how that they fell. We remember that story from the Old Testament. Jesus crosses over that Jordan and goes east into Jericho. And in Jericho, pretty quickly, there's this little bitty wee guy. He's up in a tree. Jesus goes home with him. And Jesus changes the life of that scumbag tax collector for Rome. Changed him completely. But that's not the way man we're going to talk about. No. But Jericho is also noteworthy because of its location. It is along the route that most of those Galilean Jews to the north would take as they were headed to Jerusalem on one of the three required festivals. This one that Jesus on is headed toward on the Passover. We are talking just days, more maybe 10, 11 days out from the cross. It's at the end of his ministry. He may have stopped at Jericho to replenish and revive his 12 disciples that are all in that group. Because you see, they're going to have to go up, literally, about 3,000 feet over the next 17 or 18 miles. When they talk about going up to Jerusalem, they meant up. And 3,000 feet is that's a bunch. And here is Jesus, and he's in Jericho. But there's another fellow that's in Jericho. And he is in sad shape. We know him as Bartimaeus. Now, I think most of you know that if a name in the New Testament starts with Bar, B-A-R, that means son of. And the Bible tells us that very clearly in the book of Mark, chapter 10. And there, as they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now, Bartimaeus had a buddy that was there as well. He is mentioned according to Matthew chapter 20. So there's two words you got to get. Those two words are critical to your understanding of this man's situation and what's about to happen to him. Number one, he's blind. What does that mean? Well, what would it be like if you were blind in our day, in our society? Well, there are places to go and you can learn how to develop a trade, skills. But there wasn't much of that going on back then. So what is going on? Well, because he's blind in a Jewish place,
What do people think? The same kind of thing that people thought about that lame man in John chapter 9. He must have done something hideous. He must have done something very sinful. And what are the Jews going to do with a man who's a sinner? They're going to leave him alone. He's over there, but I'm going to stay way over here. How do I know? What about that Samaritan? Remember when the Samaritan came by the Jew that was beat up? Well, he must be bad. The priest wouldn't have anything to do with it. You get the idea? These people, the Jews, if there was a thought that somebody might be sinful, they got away from it like the plague, like if they got COVID or something. That's what was going on. That's part of it. But also because he is blind and because he is a reject, an unworthy, an unfit person, his chance of getting a job is somewhere between slim and nil. It's just not going to happen. So that's why the Bible used that word, beggar. How many of you guys, I'm going to see a show of hands just right quick. How many of you in, say, the last month has been to either Sam's or Chick-fil-A or something like that over in Texarkana? How many have been there? I mean, my hand's up first, okay? Yeah, a bunch of you. You know those little islands where you can't drive? You notice the people there? We call it panhandling. Bible calls it begging. Picture an extreme case of a man whose only income is what you put in his can. But you don't want to get too close to him because he's a sinner. And he's evil. And it can't be good. It's not a good situation. But some did. More, maybe they did it because if I give something good to God right now on my way to the Passover, God will remember me. And he'll see this good thing that I've done. And he'll give me some credit, and he'll be blessing. He'll bless me. That's Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus wasn't no fool either. Because he was on the Interstate 30 of his day, the Jericho-Jerusalem highway, if you want to be out there to get money in a beggarly way or a panhandling way, where are you going to go? Go out there near that interstate. You're going to get along that road. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus did. Now, how does a blind man get out there on that road? Well, that's a whole other story to itself, isn't it? Someone didn't think too badly of him, or they had great pity on him. They'd guide him out to where he wanted to be. And he and his buddy would maybe meet there at the same place every day. I know they're at the Walmart in Hope, Arkansas. There's a man who'd been sitting there since July, I guess. He's there most days. Right there as you drive into Walmart. Right across from one of the major highways. One of the most popular places to be in the whole town. He picked that spot out. That's the kind of thing that Bartimaeus was doing. He was sitting in a popular place where he might actually get a little bit of money in his little cup. Sad situation, Bartimaeus. Maybe sick, too. Beggars wind up not having good health care, so it was really bad. But one of the things that blind beggars could do, and it's real simple, they could listen. They listened for sounds that told them someone's walking nearby. And they might say something to that person and say, please give to the poor. Please help me. Be kind to me. They might say something simple. Draw attention to their plight so that they could do it. But he had to listen. Now, one of the things that's going to happen, though, of course, as he did this, he might have been listening to what they were talking about. Now, what would be the big talk of what's going on this particular day that Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. What's the big talk? The people who are coming by are talking about Jesus, that great healer. And he may have been here in Israel up to maybe 3 years. This is the end of the three and a half year ministry of Jesus. So he may have heard about Jairus raising that daughter. He may have heard about the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. He may have heard about how that he helped the lame to walk. And more than anything else, I'm sure he would have clung to anything about blind people. He might have heard about those two blind men up in Galilee who not only heard about Jesus, but went to where Jesus was. And they went in there and asked for Jesus to heal them. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "We want to see you." And they said, "Yes." And he says, "Just go on." And sure enough, they could see perfectly, the Bible says. Not just a little miracle, a great miracle. You think that would have been important to Bartimaeus? When he could hear those things, when he could hear about the healings, when he could hear about the hope, when he could hear about the teachings of Jesus and how great he was and how he wanted good things for people and how he wanted to make life better for everybody. How he's trying over and over again. He even confronted people that he didn't, that maybe they shouldn't do.
And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him and said to him, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no man knows about it." Instantaneous miracles, things that were beyond the impossible, far on out there. But Bartimaeus keeps hearing this message. He keeps on hearing it. Day in, day out, as all these religious people are passing by, some of them helping him, some of them going on, but he's hearing the stories about Jesus, hearing the stories about Jesus, and hearing the stories about Jesus. What did he have in his head? What was he thinking? What would you be thinking? Would he be seeing the possibility that he, if he ever could find Jesus, if he was ever so lucky, ever so blessed, that Jesus happened to go by him, that Jesus might consider giving him eyesight? And the more stories he hears, something starts growing in him. Anybody remember what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says? Faith comes by, let's say, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. He's hearing the Word of God because the Word of God is living. We're walking right there. And he's hearing about this. He's hearing. His faith is beginning to grow. He starts picturing in his head the possibility of seeing again. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? How many of you have ever planned something? I mean, ladies? Anybody ever bake a cake? In your head, do you see the cake finished? Or do you see it even in a process? And that you got to smear all that good sweet stuff all over it? Yeah, you see it in your head, don't you? You got faith that you can do that. You know how much faith I got? I can take a pan, I put water in, put it on the stove, and I can boil it. Oh, I can do better than that. But anyway, you get the idea. Guys, I don't know about you, but there's one of the elders up at Prescott.
He's pretty good about building ramps for people who need them. Now, building one of his ramps is not a 30-minute job. It's like a 2-day job, maybe 3. But he can see it in his head before it begins. I'm not mechanically inclined like some of you are. Somebody tells you to fix the carburetor on a push mower, you can see all the little process in your head. Me? I have to watch YouTube videos to figure that stuff out. Bartimaeus was developing a faith up here before Jesus left Jericho. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, in this part of the story,
that Jesus is leaving it. He's leaving Jericho. He's going to start up there. When he gets to Jerusalem the next day or so, it's going to get tough. But that man who's blind is sitting on that popular place, and he starts hearing something. What would he hear? It's a large crowd. The Bible says, a large crowd. What does that mean? What would sound with a large crowd make? Y'all know, y'all been to gatherings. All this mumbling and talking. You'll hear a few words here and a few words there and understand a little bit. But he's not used to having large crowds go by him. This is unique. He's used to small groups, maybe 2 or 3 or 5, go by him at a time. But not a large crowd. So as this crowd gets close, what's he going to do? Wouldn't he ask, hey, what's going on? I hear a bunch of you guys. What's going on? What are they going to tell him? Oh, well, we're all going to Jerusalem? No. It's Jesus of Nazareth is here. He's in this group. He's coming with us. We're following along with him. But you got to remember, Jesus at 12, that's a pretty good handful right there. And then you throw in people from Jericho going that same direction, maybe some other travelers going that same. It's a large crowd. Jesus in that group? Can you picture why his eyes getting big? Although he's blind, it's like, oh, this is Jesus. This is the one who heals. This is the one who can give me sight. This is the one who can change my life, who can make me productive, a person again. Oh boy, I need to do something here. What's he going to do? Well, the funny thing is, this is an unlikely situation, but he's going to handle it in a very precise and helpful way. Now, what would he do? What would you do? You're blind. Crowd's coming. You're going to have to get Jesus' as you're going to get his attention over the din of the crowd. How are you going to do it? Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hear me. Can you hear me? Jesus, I need your help. I have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The crowd, because they look at him as a social reject and possibly a sinner, what are they going to tell him? The Bible tells us very clearly. They tell him to close your mouth. Don't talk. Jesus won't have anything to do with you because you're a sinner. You're an outcast. God, this great healer doesn't need to be bothered by you. You ever felt like him? You ever been the social reject? The person thrown out on the outside? You're not included in the important things going on? That you're not allowed to be part of something? Yeah, all of us have been there sometime. And if we haven't, we're not something wrong. We haven't been doing enough Jesus stuff. But here's the point. Jesus heard that man. But even though the crowd was saying, get quiet, what's he going to have to do? He's going to talk even louder. Like saying, sick him. Boy, I mean, he's going to get after this and he's going to make it really loud, real obvious, real clear. That's what he's going to do. Jesus does hear him. And Jesus stopped in his tracks. They heard him and said, Call him over here. Get him to come over here. The crowd stopped. I see something in the text here that is kind of odd. I hope you, if you're following me along here in Mark chapter 10, you're going to notice that there is something that this man does, that Jesus does. And the crowd says, oh, Jesus wants him near. Oh, I need to be nice to this man. It'd be good if I'm nice to that beggar. So they start saying, oh, blessed are you. It's your lucky day. This is the time Jesus wants you. Hey, get up. Come on. Come on. We'll help you get over here. How else would a blind man find the one individual in this large crowd? How's he going to do it? Where's he at? The Bible describes Bartimaeus as throwing down his clothes. He took off his coat and got busy walking, stumbling, falling over, making his way. Where's Jesus at? Where's Jesus at? Oh, he's over here. And they point him and he gets in front of Jesus. And then something very, very wonderful happens. And Jesus makes a statement. He says, what kind of mercy do you want me to give you? What can I do for you? That's what we might hear. What can I do for you? What did he say? What did Bartimaeus say? That I can regain my sight. Bartimaeus had been visited. He had vision at one point. He knew what a beautiful springtime with daffodils would have been like. He maybe saw the flowers blooming. Maybe saw some pretty girls too. He did remember how to be a respectable citizen in his town and be employed and doing good things for Jericho. And Jesus looked at him and said, one word. Just one word. In our English Bibles, it's two letters. Go. That's it. Just go. But the word go in the original carries with it, go on with your life. Go back to living. What happened? Go on your way. And when Bartimaeus started leaving Jesus, it happened. He could see again. The very thing, here's the point, the very thing he had developed up here, right up here, that's where he developed it. What was it? He could see in his own mind that Jesus could make me whole, fix my eyes. He can do this. He can do this. If I could just get in front of him, he can do this. If there's anything I want you to remember today, that's faith. That's what faith is. The knowledge that Jesus can do. Now unto him who is able to do far abundantly more than we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. We got to have that kind of faith that Bartimaeus had. Oh, by the way, Bartimaeus does get up and he goes on and starts following Jesus, at least for part of the way, on toward Jerusalem. But it was his faith that did something. Friends, let me ask you something. When you pray, what do you picture? Because that's the evidence of your faith. I'm not condemning. I'm not criticizing. I'm telling you, if you can picture it, it can happen. Because that is displaying your faith about Jesus. If you're not picturing something, oh God, I hope that you get so and so well. Okay? Did you picture it?
Can I picture, I have trouble right now in our congregation at Prescott, because we got people like you have here that are not just sick, they got stage 4 cancer. And one of our faithful Christian women that has a wonderful family is dying from cancer. How am I supposed now to pray? How do I picture her back at her desk again at work? Can I picture her in the pews worshiping God? Can I picture her teaching her children, fixing supper? Can I picture that? That's my faith. I struggle on this one, okay? I have trouble with it. I don't know if you guys do or not, but I do. I think you do too. Oh, praying that you get knee pain gone. Yeah, that'd be good. To walk again, that'd be good. Can you picture it? And brothers and sisters, let me ask you something. You've heard the old story. I've already gone over too long. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Brethren, when you pray for rain, do you bring the umbrella? You've heard that line. I know you. When you pray for rain, do you picture the rain? Do you see yourself with an umbrella out there in the rain? That's faith. That's what our prayer life has to be. That's the kind of life we got to do. We're going to have to believe that Jesus can. That He can forgive me of my sins. And boy, they've been hideous. When you lie to when you lie and you tell lies, God's got to forgive that. But if God can forgive a man like Paul, who put people in prison and had them executed because they were Christians, if He could do that for Paul, I got a chance. I can believe that I have forgiveness, and I can believe that I am going home, and I can picture myself in heaven with Jesus, with God. The grandest thing that'll ever happen. And I get to have an eternal day. Can you picture it? Can you see yourself there? If you can believe like that, then you need to get in line with what Jesus has got to tell us. We got to repent of our sins. We got to state that we believe that Jesus is God's Son, because we can see it. And then we got to picture ourselves giving up our life to be immersed in a watery grave so that the body of sin may be destroyed, as Romans 6 tells us. To give us a new life, Romans 6 verse 4, that I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. We've got to have that kind of faith. Because if we don't have the faith that we can picture it, you hear me? You don't have that kind of faith, do you have faith? It's a challenge. That's all it's meant to be. To make you think. Do you have faith in Jesus as the saving grace of God that hung on that cross, bled out His life, so I could have a chance? This morning, if you need to change your life, to develop this kind of faith, we're anxious to help you. The congregation here is ready. I'm ready. We're all ready. Let's get something done. Now, does that mean you're going to walk down this aisle in just a moment? That's one way of doing it. But don't you walk out that door today without faith. Don't walk out that door. If you need to grow your faith, talk to somebody. We'll help you. We will. And if you've been a Christian, you've started that way and you've lost your way. Maybe you lost your vision of Jesus. Maybe we need to go back and fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 4. We need to get ourselves set. Set our mind on things above. Colossians 3:1. We've got to get it right. This morning, if we can help you in any way, please let those needs be known while we're standing, while we're singing.